I'm Ninja Sister.
And I'm Pandalicious.
And this
is the Eshcast.
This is Electric Sisterhood, podcast episode number 426. If it's not kissy kissy, that's fine. But it's not.
Sisterhood, home of the best.
The fucking best.
Girl gaming, tech gadget, and anime podcast. I am Ninja Sister.
And I am Pandalicious.
Recovered from PAX East.
Well, mostly.
Or are we? Mostly. Some of us, more than others of us, are recovered. And what's really funny is I did not get the PAX plague.
I got PAX pox.
I got no pox.
After PAX, I got home and I just couldn't keep anything down, couldn't sit up to watch anything on Netflix.
That's why you gotta bring your own Purell. I'm telling you guys, people will look at you funny, but guess what? You won't get PAX pox. You carry a little personal Purell, and after you open doors and go places, burp, 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 right there on your hands, boom, plague free.
I
didn't have so much as a sniffle.
Well, I do.
Yeah. So, you know, the more you know.
Or you get your flu shots when you're supposed to get your flu shot.
I did not get a flu shot.
Be vaccinated.
You can be vaccinated. Vaccinations are a good thing. I typically don't get the flu shot. I'm one of those rare beasts.
But you're one of those rare forms of humans that don't get sick often, but when you do,
it's horrible. Out. It's horrible.
I am similar in that regard, except I am not as bad as you.
Yeah, no, my fever's let's get this party started, 105.
I know. That was insane.
Yep.
I got through the whole event pretty well until, like, literally at, like, 4 o'clock I got home from my Uber. And, oh, my God, did fucking Uber make a fucking killing that weekend with all those fucking surcharges.
It was surge was real.
The surge was
PAX East. I think there was one time I opened up the app and it was like, it's a 4.7 times surge.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I was like, oh, goddamn.
Yeah. After my last appointment on Sunday, I was like, okay, I'm going to get myself some water because I feel a little dehydrated. And then I'm going to go and summon an Uber. And it was all like, it was like at a 6 point something. I was like, nope, I'll wait.
Dude, you should have waited for me. I would have been able to drive you home at no charge.
Yeah, well, I was ready after my last appointment, which was fun. I enjoyed it. But, like, he was rallying his energy, and I was trying to stay.
Oh, yeah. Pretty much anything after 4 o'clock on Sunday at PAX East is just... You're tired, they're tired, they've forgotten the spiel at this point.
Yeah.
They have any extra swag, they just want to give it to you and give you a press kit and, like, be done with it.
Yeah. And, I mean, we're trying so hard. Like, I have a question, and then he's like, yeah, this, like, this thing. Yeah, like, you should hear the audio. Like, you could just tell that we're both like, are we done yet? But PAX East was a great time. We got to see a bunch of our friends. We got to see a lot of interesting indies come into the
Yeah, there are a lot of really fantastic indies, which is great at the show. I played a mobile game. I can't remember the name of it right now, but it was like Tumble something. And it basically was like reverse Tetris. So it kind of reminded me of like Dr. Mario and Tetris in that you had colors... blocks at the top of the screen and a timer running, and you have to select three of the same color in order to knock them away, but it keeps lowering on you, on your character down below, so you really want to try and clear out as many rows as you can, and you take a penalty of taking an extra line if you basically block yourself in and have to clear one that isn't the same color as the other two. And it was really neat, and I ended up playing it on tablet, but it's also going to be coming to Xbox. So it's not just going to be on mobile. And I was like, you know, this would be like a fun kind of game to play when I was in transit. You know, like I'm stuck on a train, I'm stuck on a bus, I'm in an airport.
You're delayed for a couple hours.
I'm delayed for 7.5 hours. Because that's what happens when you get delayed. 17 and a half hours at SFO, but at least you have, you know, Wi-Fi, so that helps. But yeah, I'm going to have to find that game. It was Tumble Something, and it was really a fun game. So I will dig out that email, and I'll do a little write-up on EGM Now about it. But it was really enjoyable, and I think especially when it comes to, like, a console, it'll be a game that parents will definitely feel very comfortable letting their kids play. It was very much a motor skills game because you're basically playing match and using strategy to clear the right colors so that you can clear the next color that's coming. Because everything doesn't clear evenly. It doesn't come down in rows. Right. And so you end up clearing little blocks that could become very dangerous and squash your little character if you're not careful.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. And it's a really cute, like, little design. It's very, very cartoony. All of your characters look super deformed, so they're all squished, short, small. And the three levels that I played were, one, you were basically playing, like, a Cleopatra character, so the background had pyramids and stuff like that, and you're constantly getting distracted by what's going on in the background.
Right.
And then you forget your lines, and you're like, oh, wait, I'm supposed to be clearing these lines.
That's the whole name of the game, is that they want to distract you so that you'll fail.
So let me get on that, because I was not clearing those lines. And I needed to be doing that, so.
Well, speaking of lines, because I feel like this would be
a great time. Are we about to talk about Blow? Wait, no, what?
No.
Well, you said speaking of lines, I mean. I said
speaking of lines and not blurred lines.
Oh.
Well, I wanted to segue. Well, oh, man, you heard that news about Marvin Gaye totally winning against.
Marvin Gaye's estate, because Marvin Gaye is dead. Let's not get this twisted. But still, I'm just saying, so really, it's Marvin Gaye's son.
The ghost of Marvin Gaye and his son. One. But anyway, that is not where I was going with this.
Yeah, because it was bullshit. Go ahead, continue.
But I wanted, because I know that you wanted to talk about Apple.
Oh, yeah.
That's to clearly make lines.
Well, here's the thing. It's not so much that I wanted to talk about Apple, but there's no way that I can't talk about Apple. So let me just be, like, legit about that. That's
real.
Yeah. All right, so I made no bones about it when Apple first announced the Apple Watch that I would be getting one. Really, the only question.
Like, if you had an Apple Shuffle on that black band, you're already imagining the watch. And now.
Yeah, I had an iPod Shuffle that I bought a custom band to use as and wear as a wearable because I like the pedometer feature that was in it. I was going through a health kick at the time, so, and I believe that I was even doing a walk challenge where in my office all the departments were tallying up how many steps they did per day, and whichever department did the most steps won a dinner out, basically, for their department.
Like, hey guys, you lost weight walking, now let's put it back on you. Bye.
But in order to participate, and why it was good, was that you had to make a donation to the Jimmy Fund to participate. So, again, the charity angle is what I really liked about it. I really wasn't like, oh, yay, it's a dinner out, because basically it was a dinner out at my company's restaurant anyway. So it really wasn't a big, like, woo, we gonna get fat, like, type of dinner, but the charity thing was really nice, and to have something to remind me, hey, you know, I should get up and get mobile as much as I possibly can in a day, is a good thing. It's not a bad thing, but I really hated their pedometers, and I hadn't gotten a fuel band yet at the point, so I'm like, hey, I have my Shuffle. If I put it on as a wearable and use the Nike Fit app, I'd be able to have my steps counted and that kind of stuff. So that's what I did with it. And I really fell in love with that piece, especially when I would go to the gym, because it was much easier to put my headphones into something that was on my wrist, which was constantly near my head when I was moving. And so it wasn't something that was like on my hip or in my pocket when I was like on the treadmill, because I'd constantly be pulling earbuds out of my ears when that happened. It just, it didn't no matter how many extenders I put on or whatever, I was just clumsy, klutzy, say whatever you want to say. I was constantly pulling it out. But one thing that I really wanted, I found as I started wearing it more and more, was that I really wanted the thing on my wrist to do other things. You know, my big thing is I carry two phones, and not because I'm cool. It actually makes me uncool. But I have my personal phone, and then I have my work phone.
That doesn't make you not cool.
Yeah, two phones. Sometimes, like, people are like, oh, I got my work phone. Oh, I got my personal phone. I'm like, look here, douchebag. You're not that important. Like, oh, I haven't seen your work phone go off once yet, so calm it down.
Yeah, but yours is always like, poop, 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 all the damn time.
My phone blows up all the time. My work phone. So you're
not one of those douchebags that you just
described. I'm not one of those douchebags, but I do oftentimes when I go out, especially with friends and family, because I have to carry my work phone on me at all times, I really do feel quite douchey, in honesty, when we sit down at a restaurant or we're out someplace and I plop down on the table both my work phone and my personal phone, and then anytime either of them lights up, I'm constantly looking at it. It's really, I feel disrespectful to everybody around me, so I try not to do it as often as I can, but I really started wanting something that I could wear that would be a little more discreet, that I could get notifications when I was getting a phone call or when I was getting an email. And so I started looking into wearables to do that, and I found a couple of companies that made some Bluetooth devices, but none that really did well all the things I wanted, which was I wanted to be able to, if I was getting a call, look down and see who it was. And if I had the opportunity, there wasn't a lot of people around or things like that, I could actually take the call right then and there. I'd be able to initiate, hey, answer the call directly from that wearable and not, oh, so-and-so is calling me. Let me get out my phone. Let me take it out of its case or open up its door or put in my and answer the call, you know, the extra steps. I don't want to say that I'm lazy, but I just wanted the ability
to... If you could do all your things in
it would be very useful.
It'd be more effective than having to do six or seven.
You know, if I was getting an email, I would much rather have, again, a discreet way to see, oh, I just got an email, but it's from, you know, spam, so I don't actually have to take a real look at this. I can continue engaging in my conversation that I'm having. And it would also be a very important thing for me to have available when I'm having meetings with various teams. So I really wanted a wearable that could do all those things, but also look good. And it's not a vanity thing, but I don't want a big clunky device that does all the things that I want, but doesn't look good. You know, if I'm going to shell out money for that kind of functionality, I'd also like it to look nice.
Have a common, nice style.
Yeah, I definitely am down with the aesthetic. I like when I'm able to do things to my tech to make them stand out and look different than anybody else's, but I like them to have a good look. That's probably the designer in me or whatever. So again, when Apple said, hey, we're making a watch, and they showed off the first one, I was like, all right, so you have my money. Like, as long as it's affordable, you have my money. And my husband looked at me and was like, well, what's affordable? Let's define it. I'm like, $350. I'm like, okay. I'll do $350.
I was just about to ask you what your line was.
I was like, I will do $350 if I get the Bluetooth stuff that allows me to get my notifications about emails and let me see really quickly what the email is about in a nice, sexy way. If I can deal with phone calls that are coming in, and if I have a really nice, good-looking watch. And I like to customize things, so I didn't want to be stuck with just set watch faces. Like, that's the one thing when you're using an iPod Shuffle, or the Nano, as a watch, you only have a certain amount of faces that you can use. And so if you really don't like them, let's say you like the digital layout one, but you want it to be a different color, it's not really an option that you have. So you lose the customization piece there.
I was about to say that. Okay.
So I want the customization as well. And when Apple said, yeah, and we've got a developer kit for the Apple Watch, which will allow a big chunk of the apps that already exist in the iOS world to come to the watch if you want them, but also let a developers expand upon it, then I started getting really interested in the watch. You know, because I wear my phone in a holster, and it's always a pain when I have to take it in and out and in and out of the holster.
Well, I mean, it is conveniently wedged between your armpit and your boob area.
It is, and I like that. But I love the fact that with the Apple Watch, you can actually answer a call and speak Like, it goes to speaker. It has a speaker, so you can actually answer the call. I don't have to take my phone out of the holster or out of my pocket or out of my bag or whatever to deal with the call, as long as I'm comfortable with everybody around me hearing the call. So, you know, if I'm on my way to the car and my husband calls me, I can answer it on my watch and I can just have my quick little conversation with him about probably what I need to pick up on my way home and then be about my business, and I don't have to dig through my bag to find my phone. I really like that idea. And I like some of the other apps that they announced for the phone. You know, I think that the customizable watch faces are amazing. The bands that they came out with really do, I think, cover the gamut of various types of styles. You know, because a lot of people who still today traditionally wear a watch do it not just for really being able to tell the time.
But I think they're just so used to that being part of their
for process. A big chunk of people. It's also a status symbol. Yeah, it really is. You know, I like a good timepiece. I have a couple of Invictas that I absolutely love. I like big watch faces. I appreciate a gorgeous piece of art, and I think that good timepieces are that. And so I was really interested in the watch. And then when they had their announcement event where they announced when it was going to be available for pre-order and start shipping, I was like, okay, yeah, Apple, you are in fact going to get my money.
Oh, wait, so what exactly is the price point? Because
So there are multiple price points.
Okay.
Multiple price points. Because there are two sizes of the watch. So there's a 32 millimeter size, basically the lady's size. No, no, it's a smaller size. Because, again, if you have a small wrist, you may not want a big face on it.
Okay. All right.
Okay. So, but they didn't call it a lady size. They're calling them the 32 millimeter and the 42 millimeter. Because there are some people that maybe have a big wrist that would prefer a smaller size. So it's not a his and hers thing. Apple's not pitching it that way. I'm saying basically it's the lady size because it's the smaller of the faces for the watch. And they're available in those two sizes in the aluminum, which is basically the sport version of the watch. The Apple edition, which is the stainless steel. Okay. And then the ballin' ass out of control version, which is the solid gold one. And the reason why I say ballin' ass out of control, first of all, it's not gold brush, it's solid gold.
No, no, and I figured it was, but why even have a ball of status?
Because, again, if you're going after a market that appreciates fine timepieces, you need to have a gold watch. When I say Rolex, you think gold watch.
True.
Because it, right. Okay, Rolex makes more than just the gold watch.
They do, but that's but the iconic piece that
that's the iconic piece. Rolex. Okay, so if you're going to play in that space, you got to play in that space. However, the Apple Watch is solid gold. So your price points start for the 32 millimeters across the board, respectively. Now remember, I said aluminum, stainless steel,
and
gold. Solid gold.
Yes.
$350.
Okay.
$549.
Okay.
And $10,000 and some change.
Get the fuck out.
Those prices again. $350.
Wow.
$549. $10,000 and some change. And that's for the 32 millimeter size.
Oh, God. Are you going to tell me the 42?
With the band that comes with that size. You can get different bands because they've got the sport bands, which come in the colors like the really vibrant Nanos did.
Right.
Yep. When they did the colors campaign. The
Nanos. I remember the Nanos.
Yep, the colored Nanos, which were bomb. But they come... The Apple has made a leather series of bands. They've made traditional watch link versions, both in silver and gold. You know, if again, if you wanna roll that way, you can do that. Right. Not all of us do that.
Not
you know,
me.
Most people go not it. but you know, there's also a couple of bands that I want, and you can buy bands independently, but you can buy pretty much every face with just about every band. So depending upon which face and band you get, your size, your cost will vary.
Okay. So you're going for the basic.
I'm going for basic because I am a basic broad.
Whoa, bro.
In the way that I'm not dropping $550 off the bat.
I mean, you're not going to dig out $10,000 for that.
Look, if I rolled up to my bank right now and said, hey, guys, I need to take out a personal loan for like $11,000. And they're like, oh, are you buying a car? And I'm like, no, I'm buying a watch. I'm not getting that loan.
That's absolutely true.
I just want to put that out there. And I make good money. I'm not getting that loan. Okay?
Right.
But there are people out there that have it. You know, there's a lot of elite. I can't imagine that you won't see a ton of rappers.
Right. True.
With the gold ones.
Yep.
You know? But I do think that there's some value in the watch. There are some people that are like, meh. I think Apple's kind of like jumped the shark with this one. And I don't really think that is. I think that this watch is going to appeal to a certain sect of people. And I think all the health stuff that they announced, which they kind of teased in their first announcement, but really getting into, you know, the watch does monitor your behavior through the day as far as being mobile and stuff. And it will remind you every so often, like, hey, you haven't moved around in a little bit. Might want to get up and stretch your legs. Like, there's value to that. But there's value to that. You know, I as a person who works in marketing, I can tell you that there have been days where I have looked at the clock and it's 4:30 and I'm like, oh my God, I haven't been to the bathroom. I haven't eaten anything. Because you get so in the zone and I don't have anybody going, hey, let's go grab some lunch. Like, everybody's in the zone. And I think that, you know, there's a lot to be said for getting up and getting away from your desk and being mobile throughout the day. That just does things positively for you mentally. So I think that that's a great thing. But they also created a dev kit to create apps to tap into all the things that the device can monitor. And they've made it open source. So the entirety of the medical community can work with this. MGH has an app because they're doing diabetes research. And anybody that has the app can be part of the study, giving their information to MGH anonymously, but by tracking their numbers and different things that it asks you throughout the day to comment on, it can basically say, hey, you know, your numbers got really high when you did your glucose testing this evening, and it just happened to be on a day where you didn't do this exercise or you did 10 minutes less of this. You know, that's really helpful. And to have that in a wearable that does other functions, you know, that's really, that's kind of future is now type shit to me, in honesty. And just like starting to think of, like, you know, Dana-Farber has signed on. So Lord knows what things that they may want to do research on as it relates to cancer research. But it opens up the door because, you know, clinical studies are so hard to get into and there's such limited pools of people. But now to be able to pretty much tap into any and anybody that has one of these watches is possibly participating in these studies, you know, I think that it's actually going to have a massively positive effect on the medical field. And man, oh man, like, you can't be mad at that. Whatever the price point is, like,
you can't. Well, I mean, $10,000. Like, I can't be mad.
I mean, I'm not
upset. I don't got it.
I mean, I'm not gonna get the gold ass watch. But you better believe that any giveaway that I see that people are doing for the gold watch, I am signing up. You can have my email. I will give you my firstborn child.
You're not having kids.
Joke's on them, but
I'll give them your first child.
No, I can't be putting your kids up. That would just be
crazy.
Illegal.
That too.
But I will be entering them, but I will be getting the sports watch. I went back and forth of like, well, the stainless steel one's only $200 more, but I was like, pump your brakes. This is a Gen 1 version of the watch. Apple is committed to these things.
There might be some issues.
Improvements for... Exactly. There may be issues with this one once it actually rolls. And ultimately, as we've learned with Apple, next year they'll have a new version. So I'm going to go with the 351 with one of the bands that it comes with. Down the road, I'll get another band. And then I'll see what happens with Gen 2 of whether or not I move up into... middle baller space, as you will.
Mid space?
Mid ball space. and step up to the stainless steel, because it is a gorgeous looking watch for sure. And any face that you pick at, the aluminum is no joke. Like, it's gorgeous and it's resistant to scratches, and it is water resistant. And I forget exactly what the depth was, but for basically 30 minutes. So, like, you can take a shower with it. You can't go swimming with it. But I'm not doing that.
Right.
Because it's $350.
I mean, yeah, yeah.
So I don't have it like that to be like, oh, I got water damage in my watch. Can you replace it? We know how long it took Apple to replace water-damaged iPhones, so I'm not going that route. But I am very interested in the watch, and I will be getting one. The more important thing, which was a surprise to me coming out of the announcement, because pretty much everybody knew that it was the watch announcement, but not a lot of people were aware that Apple was going to refresh the MacBook line.
Yeah, yeah, refresh.
Dude, they did. Okay.
Okay. Okay. I will give them that. But at this,
it's more powerful. It's lighter. They fucking rebuilt the keyboard.
Okay.
So that you won't have any gronky ass keys anymore.
But
now
here's my issue. Now
I know what your issue is going to be. I know what you're going to say.
Yep. But let me say it, because all right, I got
just saying. I'm just saying. I know what you're going to say.
I have Mac, pretty much Mac everything, and I'm not the greatest with my tech.
Oh, you really?
You know this. I'm not very good with my tech.
You are very bad with your tech,
Bad man with bad tech.
You bedong with it.
I got used to a certain set of abilities that I know, because I'm on a MacBook Air personally, that, like, oh, I'm so used to having USB, and I'm used to having...
You still have USB.
I know. But... it's now a USB that I am not familiar with using.
Guess what? Don't be afraid to change. Embrace it. So hold up.
See, what the fuck is this? Is it like hepatitis C?
No, it is not like hepatitis C. It is not like hepatitis C.
Is it on like an IV drip?
No.
Save the ball? I was freaking out.
You're not right for that. You're not right for that.
So can you, for those of us who panicked as soon as they saw that there was like, all right, no.
So hold on.
Because I used to think B is better than C. I feel like we're downgrading.
Hold on. Stop. All right, so here's the deal. The MacBook, not the other. The MacBook Air hasn't changed, and the MacBook Pro hasn't changed. It probably will, because here's the deal. Just like when we had Wi-Fi and you had one speed and then they came up with another speed and you're like, oh, 802.11b is actually faster than 802.11a. And oh man, C puts that to shame. And now N is like, oh, eat a dick, Wi-Fi A, B, and C. I'm faster than all of you motherfuckers. So first of all, the letters don't mean that it's getting worse.
Okay.
It means it's getting better. So with USB-C, the new spec, you have a reversible connector, which means it doesn't just fit one way, which is what USB currently does now. Okay, so you constantly have to look and be like, oh, let me put it in. Oh, wait, nope, it's upside down. Okay, now it will go in. That's all gone. So the connector very much looks like and is similar to the Lightning connector that you have if you have an iPhone 5 or 6.
Okay.
It doesn't matter which way you put it in. It just works. All right. The new spec allows them to send all different types of data over one cable. So you now have one cable that can send power as well as audio and video and data. So the reason why you have multiple ports on your computer is because you have a card that has one port that accepts this kind of information. And then you have one port that just accepts power. And so they eliminate the need to have these multiple ports on the side, which means you have to have a bigger card to deal with that tech on the side, and then bring it into one connector. Now, for people who are like, but I have a bunch of USB 2.0 and 3.0 devices that use mini USB to USB, and I'm not getting all new devices. You don't have to. Apple has created an adapter. It's $80. But Apple adapters are usually always expensive.
Yeah, that connects, they are in that range, yeah.
That connects to the USB-C port that has a port for, surprise, surprise, the current USB connector, as well as a connector for HDMI.
Okay.
And the power.
Okay.
So you can bring
now less concerned.
All those things into your Mac, if you have the MacBook, all on one side through one adapter, one cable.
Okay.
Okay? And that's only if you get the MacBook. The MacBook Pro still has all of its slots. Now, probably over time, like you said, they're going to go away from it because, and they may end up putting like two USB-C ports on a thing so that you can dedicate one to hold your external drives and things like that. But they're really aiming this device for being for the road warriors, the people on the go that don't run around with all that stuff. Like, the majority of time that I'm on my MacBook Air, I don't have an external drive connected to it, and I don't have headphones connected to it. I'm sitting someplace where I probably don't have power connected to it until I absolutely need it. Like, it's as disconnected as possible because I'm browsing the net, I'm doing email, I'm writing, I'm not doing things that require me to have those extra peripherals. And that's who this device is really aimed at. It's not aimed at the people who are, like, doing video editing on the go. That's who the Mac Pro is for. That's why it has more internal storage, more RAM, more expandability, and all the damn ports.
All the damn ports.
So it just depends on, like, who the device is for. I think that this is going to be a device that probably gets a couple of people that have MacBook Airs to step up.
Okay.
And go with it. Who want something a little bit bigger, because it is a little bit bigger. It's basically in between Air sizes as far as the screen goes. It's a 12-inch screen. So you have probably people who have an 11-inch MacBook Air who look over at the people who have a 13-inch MacBook Air with despair. I'm like, I wish I had a bigger screen, but it's okay. I like my machine. Well, now you have one that's kind of in the middle as far as screen size goes, but it also is lighter and smaller. Like, it's ridiculously small, and it now comes in colors like the iPhones. So it comes in a space gray, a silver, and gold.
A champagne.
Yes, champagne. And because it is not solid gold, because then it would be like an $18 billion computer. But they also got away from on these machines, the Apple doesn't illuminate. And it's all cast out of a single aluminum. So the whole thing is now metal, including the antenna that's Ooh. In the hinge. So it should be a sturdier machine for sure. But they really envision this guy for, like, the people on the go. And basically, like, for me, I'm probably going to upgrade from my MacBook Air next fall. And I'm going to go into one of those MacBooks. Because my Air is really my machine that I use when I'm doing event coverage.
Right.
And so it's very rare that I... Exactly. So it's very rare that I have an external drive connected to it. It's only when I'm dropping images from my Nikon that I'll connect an external. And they have an adapter, so I can still connect my drive to do that. It has, you know, pretty decent storage, again, for on-the-go. Either 256 gigs of storage that's flash, so it's going to be super fucking fast. Or you can upgrade and go for the $15.99 route and double the storage to basically half a terabyte of flash storage, 8 gigs of RAM, you know, on a super portable. Like, for there's a chunk of people that's really sexy and appealing. You're going to see them in all the Starbucks. I'm just going to tell you right now.
Absolutely.
You're going to see them in all the Starbucks.
Which is why I'm going to go through the drive-thrus.
All the Starbucks.
All the drive-thrus.
Like, I don't want to see you bitches and your damn things.
I don't want to see you guys looking at your wrist like, oh my god, what time is that?
Exactly.
There's an app for that. It's called your fucking watch. Anyway.
Right.
All right. So you've quenched, you've calmed my concerns. Because I was like, oh shit, I'm now going to have to learn this whole new thing. I'm not going to know how this works on top of not knowing how my old shit worked. Still don't know how this shit works.
Well, you should figure it out. Like mine, because you got yours shortly after I got mine.
Yeah, but then I got the one with the Thunderbolt on it.
Yes, I don't have it.
Mine had a mishap with its motherboard.
Yeah, it had a bad motherboard, which happens, you know. You queue yep. a million machines. Bad motherboards happen. But like mine, your machine is nearly 5 years old. Yeah. And so, you know, I'm coming up on really having issues running multiple applications at the same time, just because it's a 5-year-old machine. So it's about time for me to actually upgrade Mobley. And it's been a great machine for these 5 years. So this fall is when I'm looking to do so, basically after E3. Unless I win the lottery or, like, somebody gifts me a lot of money and I'll go out and get one. Because I'll probably get the 1590.
Gift me money.
I will probably go with the 1599 one when all said and done.
Okay.
Because I want a machine that, like, this one will go 5 years.
Broke.
Well, that's why I said the fall.
But I'm saying me. I will not get this version until they have gone one more step up. Because I am never on current trend. Because I'm such a hipster, and I'm broke as fuck.
Well, yeah, those two things, you know, they kind of go together. But I am definitely looking forward to the upgrade. And like I said, I'll probably go with the $15.99 one, just because when I do get the machine, I want to get one that will, like this machine, last me 5 years before I'm thinking about upgrading. You know, if you can get 5 good years without any major repairs to a portable, you're doing something right. And I have not had any major repairs on my Air. So
neither have I.
And it's traveled with me to multiple E3s, PAX Easts, B-Figs, weekend getaways, made it to New York and back, got dropped in a backpack.
I have yet to drop my machine, knock on wood.
Knock on wood. So, you know, I mean, in the interest of all things, I think that Apple really kind of surprised me with the MacBooks. Not going to lie, I really want the champagne one because it's sexy.
Okay.
And it just looks different. But I'll probably end up going with the space gray one because I like monochrome. That's the designer in me.
Okay.
So
You do you, boo.
I'm gonna do me this fall, but I am definitely getting the Apple Watch. So I will be pre-ordering with a bunch of other people on April 10th.
Oh, man, and that's just around the corner.
Yep. Just around the river bend.
Wow.
Watch band. I was going to say watch band, but I didn't, like, pick it out of my brain fast enough.
Oh, that would have been a good one, too.
Yeah. So, you know, hey, sometimes you win, sometimes you lose.
Sometimes you feel like a nut and sometimes you don't.
Sometimes you don't. I need to disclaim that as I am a stockholder in Apple, the corporation, I do in fact make a profit when people purchase Apple products. My statements earlier talking about Apple products are clearly my own opinions and should not be used in any way or taken in any way to shape your decisions upon purchasing said items. But you know what I don't want to do?
What don't you want
to
do?
I don't want to forget to talk about Ori and the Blind Forest. Because, go ahead, sir. See, huh? You like how I did with the segue there?
Yeah. What's up? We're in the same room right now, but we're not.
Oh. So I have been playing Ori and the Blind Forest, which came out this week on the Xbox One. It is an Xbox exclusive. It's made by Moon Studios, which is a new studio comprised of a bunch of people from a bunch of different studios that have come together to make a new game. And I gotta tell you, you know, we saw the trailer for Ori at E3 last year, and pretty much the team collectively was like, this looks like a really gorgeous game.
Shaking head, opening wallets.
Now. Yeah, that there was... There was that going on. There was a lot of $6 right now. There was a lot of
all my money.
There was a lot of feels.
Yep.
You know, because the trailer was very emotional. It is a gorgeous, I would call it 2.5D style.
Yeah.
Because
I agree with you there.
It is primarily a scroller, side scroller. But it does have depth. So as you move through the forest, you can see things off in the distance. And things move in multiplane, very much like if you ever saw any of the very, very early Popeye cartoons, where things were on multiple planes and moving. It looks very much like that, which is a nice style. But a bunch of the designers, there are a couple that are from Blizzard. There's a couple from various studios that worked on, like, Call of Duty and things like that. So it's really interesting when you start thinking about, you know, who actually worked on the game with what they came up with, because the story of Ori is basically, Ori is a creature of light.
Yes.
And Ori's father sent Ori out into the world. And Ori is found by a character called, I want to say, Nori or Noni. It's one of those. The name flashed really quickly and went away. But basically, it was the blue character that we saw that picks up Ori and is taking care of Ori and raising Ori as if Ori was her own kid.
Right.
And just like in the trailer, which happens pretty much damn near immediately when you play the game, so be ready for the feels, like, right off jump, kids.
I'll have my tissues ready.
All of a sudden, there's a devastation that hits the forest, and it becomes deforested. And it's very hard to find food. And Noi goes out looking for some, can't find any except for one piece, gives it to Ori, and then goes to sleep.
And basically dies.
And dies. And Ori, like, lays on her belly and goes to sleep. And then the next day happens, and it's a little bit off in the future. And you see, and you're controlling Ori at this time. Ori very slowly stumbling through various areas, obviously starved and dying. And finally makes it to this one spot and is able to be revived and is now on a mission to basically bring light back to the forest and hopefully bring life back to it through a series of puzzles. So it is a puzzler.
I love puzzles.
It's a side-scrolling puzzler. So it's very much in the vein of like a Metroid in that you're doing lots of wall jumps and using strategy to figure your way up to items, down to items to unlock spirit gates to get to different parts.
That reminds me a little bit of
Chariot. Yeah, very much so. Very much so. But it's got just the most beautiful visuals. Like it's almost like you're playing a painting. And the music is just so perfect and haunting at times when it needs to be haunting and uplifting in moments that it needs to be uplifting. It's really, really spectacular. I'll probably buy the soundtrack, to be honest with you.
Oh,
it's
wow.
That good.
That speaks volumes to me to hear you say that.
Yeah, it's really something spectacular. So the team at Moon Studios has really put together something amazing. I highly recommend it. It's going to cost you $19.99, so basically $20 when you add in your tax and stuff.
And you feel it's worth it?
Definitely worth it, especially if you have an Xbox One. There are some people who are like, oh, because it's going to be the Xbox One's journey. It's not Microsoft Xbox's journey, but man, oh man, is it a step in the right direction. And it's only because Journey had a different dynamic.
Yes,
because you had the multiplayer piece that went on. And the ad hoc of nature of that was very interesting to see whether or not, without being able to communicate, you could communicate with somebody else to complete and support each other. Or
I want to play Journey again.
I know, right?
Just talking about it makes me want to play it again.
But Ori is not Journey. Ori is its own thing, and it's a really good thing on its own. So I highly recommend it. Especially if you have an Xbox One or you know somebody that has an Xbox One, give them some cash for the Xbox One and let them get the game. I will say it's a little bit of a download, but not like crazy. It's about 7 gigs.
Ooh, okay.
But it's gorgeous. So there's that.
All right.
And you can control how much you want on the HUD or not. So if you want to see like life meters and things like that, you can turn them on or you can turn them off.
Oh, so they give you a stylistic choice.
Yep.
Nice.
Which I also appreciate. So I play it very minimalist.
I mean, I think I would start feeling concerned if I couldn't see like my health, because we're just so regimented as a gaming subculture to see a HUD, to see where
one of the
we're going,
reasons
and to
why
see how much stamina we have and to see how much health we have.
But one of the reasons why you don't need that is the game save mechanic is very interesting. As you go along playing, you build up energy, and once you've built up an energy ball, you can basically make a save right then and there.
Oh, all right.
So, if you're like...
They're always giving you an option to save just in case you might not be aware of where your health
exactly.
is.
Exactly. So you can go along and be like, oh, you know what? It definitely looks like, especially from the cues that I'm getting from music, that I'm probably going to fight somebody right now who's going to be a little bit more powerful than me. Here, let me use my energy ball and let me just pop a save right here so that if I die, I'll respawn right here.
Ooh, okay.
And you can jump back to any of your save points once you make them. You can go up on the map and be like, I want to blossom from this save point. So, you know, once I understood that mechanic, I really didn't need to see the life gauge anymore. You pretty much knew when you died because you went poof and right back to your save spot.
Oh, all right. Well, then that is very interesting. I can't wait
to mechanic.
Get it myself and have my experience.
Oh, yeah, get on it. You're going to love it. That's what I got, kids.
All right, well, let me see if I can do what I want to do in 10 minutes or less. So, actually, I should be able to. It's fine.
Actually, you've got more than 10 minutes. You're fine.
So, on my side of the world, because, I mean, I've played a chunk of games over, like, the last weekend because of PAX East and stuff, but I realized that we haven't really talked a lot of anime on our show, and that is one of our focal points is anime.
It is. So, anime is a thing, and we watch it.
And we do. So I went browsing through Crunchyroll because that happens to be my ish right now.
Yeah.
That and Netflix. I'm starting to watch a lot of Netflix series that are streaming only on Netflix.
Yeah.
Like I watched The Arrested Development that last season that they had that was strictly for Netflix.
Word.
I watched Park and Rex. That was over on Hulu Plus. That was on Netflix. House of Cards, which was on Netflix.
Did you watch Luther?
It is in my queue.
You need to watch Luther. You need to
marathon
Luther.
Especially because I heard that they're planning to... redo it, and they're
not planning to redo it. They're already filming it, and Idris Elba is the producer on it.
Oh,
it's an American version.
Okay,
so that,
but that, and I've also currently I have been watching the Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt, which if you have not been watching that on Netflix, I strongly suggest you do. I'm only 3 episodes in because I'm watching them with my fella, and if I watched any without him, I would probably get murdered and then buried in our huge backyard. So I have to wait, but it's completely and utterly worth it. And the guys who did Auto-Tune the News also auto-tuned the theme song. So it's a good way of making themselves very relevant. But outside of that, like I said, Crunchyroll is kind of the place that I go to watch my streaming media. And I came across this anime through watching a YouTube personality, that anime man, talk about his favorite romantic animes, and this happened to be in the number 2 slot. It wasn't even the number 1, but it was called My Little Monster. So I found it on Crunchyroll, and I literally marathoned it in about a day and a half. If you round it up, it's like 2, and it literally just took my heart and my brain by storm. So literally the show is about the relationship between Mizuku Mitsunari and also this boy named Haru Yoshida. Now, Mizuku is pretty much like your bookworm. She's only focused on studying. She has no interest in any other thing. And you know that she's obviously guarded. Like, she loves math as a subject because she loves, you know, having a problem and being able to solve it. So you could tell that emotions and, like, bonding and, like, all those things that typical high school girls are all about, she does not want none of those buns, hun.
Yeah, no, none of that.
She wants none of it. And one day she bumps into her school teacher who is like freaking out because a boy has been skipping school. And she's like, are you going to be going by this particular area? And, you know, the main character is like, yeah. She's like, can you bring this to this address and just give it to him? It's like, you know, worksheets that he's missed over like the last week. So she's like, fine, whatever. And she does. And she is walking by this not horrible neighborhood, but, you know, definitely like in like the...
It's the other side of town.
Yeah, yeah. And she gets pulled through these bushes to this dude who is kind of like, who the hell are you? Did she send you? And like this character's like, these are your worksheets. This is all I'm doing. Like, I don't care what your name is. I don't care what you do. I don't care that you're not going to school. She just asked me to bring you these papers. And he's just like, oh, he's like, oh, is this like in high school when you're sick and your friends bring you your work because they know you don't feel well? And she's like, whatever you need to take these papers. Like, she's just trying to pacify him so she can just get on with her life. And he's just kind of like, oh, my God, you're the best. And now we're friends. I'll go back to school because now I have a friend. And she's kind of like, what just happened? And seriously, after that, he kind of follows her around, kind of like a puppy. But this puppy also is kind of psychotic and often fights a lot. Like,
just a little.
No, not even a little. Like,
okay, someone, like a lot.
Like, all the time. Like, he's like, people glare at me all the time, and he's very confrontational. And, like, he's about to start this fight, and Mizuku's like, hey, cut that shit out. And he's like, you know, you are kind of deserving this, because you're kind of giving them this air that you're dangerous, and then people get scared of you, and then no one wants to be your friend. And he's like, but all I want is friends. You know, and you can tell deep down that that's really what he wants, but he just doesn't have any kind of skill. Like, he has no
social graces whatsoever.
You know, and, like, when I first watched it, I'm like, you know what? I'm like, because he's, like, a mastermind. Like, he's a savant. Like, he is great at school. You actually find out that he actually scored the top score and was supposed to give, like, the inaugural, like, welcome to school speech, but he decided not to come to school. And, like, she... Mizuku has been chasing the top spot, like, because all she wants in this world is to be the best academically at this point in the show. And when she finds out that he is really kind of in her way, she starts to, like, not even kind of look at him as, like, a classmate, but as, like, this obstacle in her way. And, you know, he is just finding more and more ways to be around her. And she's like, I know I'm just accessible because I don't fight and I'm not confronting and I'm not trying to push you back, but I really could care less. And he's like, well, I want to do you, which completely throws her off track because he's just, he is so blunt and he's so earnest about his feelings, and where she doesn't even deal with the mushiness of feelings. Like, she gets flustered a lot because she's trying to she understands the words, but she doesn't understand just how sincere he is until later on. And for the first few episodes, at one point, she realizes that she is strongly interested in him and she can't understand why. But she's like, oh, I'm just going to take this leap of faith out of nowhere, mind you, because he doesn't give her any setup for this. And she announces that she loves him back, and it completely throws him off. And he's like, well, I think the love that you think you have is different from what I have, so, like, I'm not going to do anything. And she's like, wait a minute. You've been, like, telling people you've loved me for, like, 3 days now, and I say it back, and now you're pulling back? So there's this constant will they, won't they, are they not? And all these other people around them are developing relationships friend-wise between the two of them, and also may or may not be having feelings for one or the other, or in one person's case, both.
Yeah,
and
completely not confusing whatsoever.
Oh, no, no. And there's a rooster in it, and, like, the rooster's kind of got its own thing going on, and it's like, really? Really, series? I mean, this was originated from a manga first, and, I mean, it is absolutely, you know, heartwarming. It will make you laugh. You will feel bad when people cry, because it's like those Miyazaki cries, like those big, welly, snotty fate. Like, it makes you want to do the exact same thing. There are 13 episodes. There is speculation that a second season is coming. They haven't officially announced it yet, but I'll be sitting on my couch with popcorn waiting for the day. So if you liked series like Just Say I Love You, or From Me to You, or
I Love even From
to
Me
a,
to You.
Even to a lesser extent, what's that other one I'm thinking of? I can't remember it now.
That's not good.
No, yeah. Or like Wallflower. Wallflower, essentially.
See, I never watched Wallflower.
I read Wallflower first, and if you read it and then saw the anime, you would appreciate that, one, they were adhering to the style of it. Like, the way it was drawn is very similar to the manga, which is, you know, you appreciate that value. But there isn't a lot going on in terms of plot in Wallflower, except you've got this introverted girl who likes Halloween that everyone's kind of scared of because they don't understand her. You know, through the power of these four really hot guys, all of a sudden taps into her own, I woke up like this kind of mentality, even though that's not what they were coining it then. But it is probably one of the best romantic comedies that are currently out there right now.
In anime.
In anime right now, yeah.
Because you want to put that clarifier out there.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, I am going to wait on bated breath for a second season, because the way that the first season ends, there are still three really big questions out there that they need to answer. Like,
like no, right now?
They have to answer them because, like, we already know that the two love interests, because at the point, at the end of the first season, they've kind of accepted that they're together. And now it's just her trying to figure out, she's trying to understand the cadence of a relationship. Like, you know, she loves to study. So, like, she went and she goes to a cram school with a guy who Haru knows has a thing for her. And he's like, well, you love me, so you shouldn't be around people who don't love you the way that I love you. And she's like, I love studying way more than I love you. But I didn't want you to worry, because outside of studying, which is number one, you're number two. No one's getting in between that. And, like, Haru just can't get over his need to be around her and keep her away from other people, because he's got his own insecurities, and there's a whole
different... sounds a little possessive and not in the good way.
Like, there's one episode where, like, he knows that she's gonna bump into this guy, and he's, like, walking in front of her, and he's literally barking at people and, like, growling at them. And, like, none of them are the guy in question, but he's just so... And, I mean, like, there's this whole backstory with him and his older brother and his father, and he ran away from home or got kicked out, and they still haven't even broached why he left, what the issue really is, and why he won't even talk to them anymore. But at the same time, you've got all this backstory with her that you don't know. Like, you know, she lives at home with her father and her brother, and the mom is working. And it's really kind of, it's an interesting dynamic that's how it's happening, because in most animes, you know, you've got the father who is away all the time with a mother around,
mm-hmm.
and they're playing up the fact that the father's kind of a fuck up and the mom had to go to work to provide for her family. So she's never home because she has to work and she works far away. And, like, it's so interesting because of that dynamic in Suzuku's home. That's where her, you know, her mentality of always being the best and working really hard comes from, because she has a strong, you know, female figure who has to go above and beyond the traditional mean, at least in this universe, to do just that for them to just survive. So, like, I think that's where her standoffishness of, like, whimsical, carefree people come from, because she's kind of having to learn how to live and struggle by having someone like that be their parent. And not to want to create the same mistakes as, you know, her parents did. So, I mean, but there's so many things that they haven't even addressed. And, like, I need to know. Like, I want to see them obviously happy. Like, at the end of the day, you want this pairing to work. And if it doesn't work, then you want it to be, like, one of those things where even though the romance aspect of their relationship didn't work, that there is some happy ending, there's some happy medium for every character.
They end up being close friends for the rest of their lives, raising their children together or whatever, in the same neighborhood.
There's a resolution there, and if it's not kissy-kissy, that's fine, but I want a decent resolution, and they haven't given me any clue if I'm going to get that.
You're not.
So as a, you know, a watcher, I'm just like, oh.
I'm just going to let you know right now, you're not. Accept it.
Oh!
Not happening.
Oh,
not anyway, gonna happen.
But like I said, it's available on Crunchyroll, all 13 episodes. And if you watch it and you feel the same way that I do, then you should, you know, message me on our Facebook page so that I can have somebody else to talk to about the series. Because right now, I think there's only one other person that I know is currently watching it. So it's a hidden gem among all the great series that you'll find on Crunchyroll. And trust me, there is a shit ton there.
There is a bunch to watch on Crunchyroll. There's
one that you could skip over and not even think twice about it. But I'm telling you, think twice.
Well, especially because you have to dig to find it. It's not like it's current season.
It's not current. It's not simulcasting. You got to dig for it. But sometimes you got to dig to find those diamonds, you know?
You know? And then you put them in your Apple Watch.
Well, those of us who have Apple Watches, perhaps.
You know somebody's going to bling out a gold Apple Watch.
I know.
And then they're going to cry when it gets stolen.
Not me, because I ain't got it like that.
Word.
But that's my spiel.
Ooh, cool. Well, we will have more stuff to talk about next week on our show. I've got some more things from PAX East that I'm going to be talking about, like Star Trek Timelines.
Oh my god, I can't wait to hear you gush about that.
I am gonna gush about it.
You are gonna so gush about that.
Like, so much. I fanboyed. I fanboyed a lot.
You did.
Not gonna lie. But you got a
little pin out of it, so it's
fine. I did. You did. So anytime you leave something Star Trek-y and you walk away with an insignia pin, it's a good day. You clearly
did it right.
You did. You did it right. So make sure that you stick around and listen to that podcast when it comes out. You can find our podcast on our website, www.electricsisterhood.com. You'll also find our podcast in the iTunes store, either on your desktop or on your iOS device through the podcast app by searching for the Eshcast and subscribing. We're also available on Stitcher Radio, so you can subscribe to us there, as well as catching a hold of our show over on VOG Network, vognetwork.com, and on Tuesday nights, right before anime jam session. So, you know, you really want to go all otaku on an evening. You definitely want to hit up VOG Network on Tuesday and listen to our show. But there are other great shows on the network like OLR, Bobby Black Wolf Show. Critical Myth is over there. There's just such great stuff. You definitely, definitely want to check it out. So be sure to do that. Check out all the things that we're writing about, more articles from PAX East, as well as other things on games, entertainment, anime, all that stuff at the website, www.egmnow.com/electricsisterhood. Subscribe to our page there, and the moment we put out new articles, you'll be in the know. You can comment on them, share them with friends, all kinds of stuff. Get social with it. Trust us, you want to do that. Be socials. And speaking of social, you should like our Facebook page, facebook.com/landofesh. Everybody who makes up the team posts there so you can see all of our articles, different podcasts from all of our websites. It's awesome. Trust us. You definitely want to hit up and be part of the community. You can ask us questions, recommend stuff for us to review on our podcasts, and, you know, we listen. So you could very well drive one of these things, guys. So facebook.com/landofesh. Like us. Talk with us. We talk back. And now with 20% less biting. Who doesn't like 20% less biting?
I do.
You don't like 20% less biting?
I do. So you like... want...
I said who doesn't.
Oh. Sorry. Sorry. I did not get that contraction.
The biting?
Love biting. Okay.
So hit us up on our Facebook page and also follow us on Twitter at ESH News. All articles that we put out on our feed so you can stay in the know. But we also share stuff that we're reading that we think is really enjoyable that's generally nerdy as well. So make sure that you like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, and engage. Ask us questions, share our stuff, retweet things. We likes the tweets. You should too. So with that, I'm going to turn to my sister. I'm going to say, hey, yo, sis.
Hey.
What shit you digging this week?
Sleep.
Sleep and is rest. A good thing. Yep. Good things. Good things.
Things that I need to get over being sick.
This week.
What shit are you digging this week, sis?
I am digging rechargeable batteries in controllers. Hell
fucking yeah.
Because they make...
Why can't we as a human race run on batteries?
Rechargeable batteries. Well, we kind of do. That's what sleep is. That's your charge state.
Well, I need a better charging base then. Because I need to get insta-healed.
You need to hold more energy is what you need.
I need to hold X for more energy.
You do. You really do.
I do.
I'm Ninja Sista.
And I'm Pandalicious.
Until next week, guys.
Peace.